Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Are you ready for number 3? We have been looking at the section of 1 Corinthians 16 where Paul lays out ministry plans for 3 missionaries, 3 traveling preachers. First, Paul himself. Secondly, Timothy, who was a partner in ministry with Paul. And thirdly, Apollos, who was, an esteemed brother, an esteemed preacher, but was never really part of Paul's missionary team. He operated independently, and yet they were on the best of terms. They appreciated each other's ministry, but he was a man who had a ministry all of his own. And so we want to look into that as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul, of course, had laid out his own plans that had to do with 3 locations. First of all, in Macedonia, and that in itself could be multiple churches, and that area, which was not just a city, but was a territory. Secondly, in Corinth, the church that he's writing this epistle to, and he's going to spend several months with them. And then thirdly, in Ephesus, another important city in the Roman Empire, in which there was a firmly established church, well established. And Paul's going to spend the next year ministering in those 3 locations, but in the meantime, others are traveling and ministering as well, and so Paul says, when Timothy comes to you, he had plans too. Paul was going north to Macedonia, Timothy was coming south to Corinth, and then Timothy was going to return north to Macedonia to rendezvous with Paul, and then Paul was going to come south to Corinth and spend some time there before he went back east to Ephesus. And Paul says, when Timothy comes, make sure that he receives a warm reception and that there's no friction, no bickering, no cold shoulder, no lack of respect, no lack of appreciation for his ministry, because he is doing the same work that I'm doing. So receive him and encourage him and support him and send him on his way. He's a faithful man of God. But now we're going to come to Apollos, but I pause to welcome you to this Friday, July 22nd edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. What about Apollos? Verse 12. Now, said Paul, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Well, this is interesting. Who was Apollos? Well, Apollos was an eloquent preacher who was first introduced to us in the book of Acts, chapter 18. We read about him in verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that would be in Egypt, on the a sizable city on the Mediterranean coast, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So see how he's described. He's a Jew by birth and background. He is a dispersion Jew, having been born and raised in Alexandria, Egypt, not in Israel, not in Palestine. He is an eloquent man. He is a gifted orator. He's not just a good, solid teacher, but he is particularly gifted in his eloquence, in his captivating way of speaking, and mighty in the Scriptures. So he is a man of the Word, and he came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he was mighty in Scriptures. That would have been the Old Testament Scriptures. And that would have been because of his Jewish background, and he obviously had studied the Scriptures, and he knew the Old Testament thoroughly, and he recognized the Old Testament Scriptures that foretold the coming of Christ, the Messiah. And he knew enough about Jesus Christ to be able to preach the gospel in a simple way, but he didn't know as much as he needed to preach more thoroughly. In fact, we read here he only knew only the baptism of John. So he basically knew about the coming of Christ up until the time when John, the forerunner of Christ, announced the coming of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John baptized Christ in the River Jordan, and Jesus began his earthly ministry. And I'm sure he must have known about the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, but there are just a lot of things he didn't know. He didn't know very much about the actual teaching of Christ. He only knew things up to the baptism of John. So we read in verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla, who had been taught by Paul, heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And then when he desired to cross to Achaia, that would be where Corinth is, he's in Ephesus when this account that I just read begins. When he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He's a very effective preacher. He's able to persuade many of the Jews that Jesus is their promised Messiah. Now, that's who we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul says he's going to come, but not now. I read it again, verse 12. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Now, he's already been there. We've already seen that. So this coming to Corinth would be a second or third visit, or perhaps even beyond that. He travels like Paul does and visits churches. And he had been invited to come to Corinth. Corinth wanted Apollos to come. He was very effective as a preacher. They all loved to hear him preach. He was so eloquent, and some people were particularly loyal to him and to his ministry. And so they had appealed to Paul to send Apollos to them, and Paul encouraged Apollos to come. So that speaks well of Paul and Apollos. There's no rivalry, no jealousy. Paul doesn't say, "Oh, I'm not going to tell Apollos to come. Some people there in Corinth like him better than they like me." No, nothing like that. Paul encouraged him to come. The people in Corinth would love to have you come and minister to them again. They've asked you to come, and they've asked me to mention that to you. And he declined the invitation. Paul says he's quite unwilling to come at this time. Without explanation, Paul doesn't say he's not willing to come at this time because he's got this going on or that going on. We don't know why. We assume it's because he has a busy ministry and he's busy someplace else, and he doesn't think that it's the right time for him to break loose from his present ministry and travel to Corinth. It may also be that he's a little bit reluctant to come back to Corinth because, you remember, he had become an innocent source of division in the Corinthian church. He was the occasion of division, but he was not the cause. In other words, he didn't do anything to provoke it. That takes us back to 1 Corinthians 3, where you have that squabbling going on. I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos. There's Apollos. Some people were dividing and gathering into little cliques. We've got the Paul clique and the Peter clique and the Apollos clique, and it could be that Apollos, knowing that, said, I think it'd be better that I not come back to Corinth. I think it'd be better that I stay away for a while. I think it would be better that people not have me around if they're going to divide over me. I don't want that. That's not good for the cause of Christ. He's a godly man. But Paul says he will come when he has a convenient time. He's not coming now, but he will come later when he decides. And that reinforces what I said, I think, on the broadcast yesterday, that Apollos was not part of Paul's missionary team. He didn't take his directions from Paul. He wasn't part of Paul's strategizing, where he'd get together with the men that looked to him for leadership and say, now, Timothy, you go here, and Titus, you go there. Apollos wasn't part of that. Paul didn't say to Apollos, now, Apollos, I want you to go over there. Apollos was his own man, but he was a godly man, and he was in perfect harmony with Paul, and in perfect support of the very same message that Paul preached. He preached the same message as well. But he was not under Paul's ministry authority. It's rather interesting as you try to figure out this relationship between them. Well, let's wrap up this section on ministry plans. What do we learn? Well, we learn that it's good to have a plan. And Paul had plans, and he laid them out. It's also good to be able and willing to change your plans when God changes them, as he sometimes does. And Paul mentions that as well. I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But, of course, only if the Lord permits. Furthermore, we should learn from all of this that when we are serving the Lord, we are to expect opposition. Paul had opposition in Ephesus. Paul had opposition in Corinth. Paul had opposition in Macedonia. Paul had opposition everywhere he went. If you don't have any opposition, you're probably not serving the Lord. Didn't I read that to you earlier? From G. Campbell Morgan, if you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. Expect opposition. Expect the unexpected. Unexpected things are going to happen. Don't be discombobulated about them. I don't think you'll find that word in the dictionary, but I think you know what I mean. Don't depreciate the ordinary. Don't depreciate men like Timothy, whose gifts are not nearly as great as Paul's and certainly not as great as Apollos's, but is nevertheless a faithful and effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a plodder, but effective. Apollos was popular. Peter was dynamic. Paul was gifted, and Timothy was effective. And all of them were servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will move on next week on Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.